Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. Record rainfall led to a soggy week for much of southwest Florida. Portions of Collier, Hendry, and Lee counties went from drought to deluge in just hours, with flooding shutting down roads on Marco Island and Everglades City. That's as flood watches remained in effect for much of the week elsewhere in our corner of the state. But what does the deluge mean for homeowners now dealing with leaky roofs and clogged gutters? Joining us to talk about what you need to know about taking care of your home in the wake of the rain is Lewis Golden with the Roofing Brothers of Naples. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Good morning, or good afternoon, I mean.
But first, let's recap the rainfall with Jeff Huffman, meteorologist for the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon, Julie.
We're talking about the rain that soaked southwest Florida this week. How did the weather impact you? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. First, Jeff, give us the wide perspective on these rains. How much rain did southwest Florida get?
Well, the heaviest totals across the state occurred in much of southwest Florida. Most of this south of Fort Myers and even south of Naples, basically in about a 20 to 30 mile span from the Everglades city area all the way up to just near West Palm and Fort Lauderdale. Widespread amounts over the last 7 days of 10 to 15 inches of rain. And then it tapers off kind of along a gradient further to the north, where in the last 7 days, in a line from Fort Myers up to, say, Fort Pierce, has received between 4 and 7 inches of rain.
Did we break any records?
There were a couple of daily records broken, two of them in Naples, Wednesday and Thursday. That's daily rainfall records, 3.37 in Naples on Wednesday, 2.49 on Thursday. Fort Myers broke a daily rainfall record on Wednesday of nearly 3 inches of rain. That record was set back in 1974.
How does that amount of rainfall compare to a hurricane?
Well, you can get hurricane-like rain even more than a hurricane in a weather system like we had this week. It's not the two are totally unrelated in the sense of what causes the rain, but when a storm system is moving as slow as the one that moved through this week, it can just continue to pile up. We had three things working together to produce this week's onslaught, if you will, of rain. We had tropical moisture already in place from this remnant tropical storm that had come across from the Pacific, Beatrice. That was already in place. And then we had a storm system coming down out of Texas that was kind of parked over Texas and slowly moving across the Gulf. And then we have an upper-level jet stream that was unusually far to the south for this time of year, which is one of the reasons why much of the state's now going to dry out. But that was adding some uplift and some enhancement to the dynamics that produce these showers and thunderstorms. So all three of these things kind of combined to produce a very soggy week for us here in the state of Florida. It's not unprecedented. This does happen occasionally in the beginning of the rainy season, but it certainly was a little more, I think, than we normally get to start rainy season.
Yeah, a lot of people are commenting about this signaling the unofficial start of rainy season. Is there even an official start to rainy season?
It is a bit of an ambiguous thing, depending on who you talk to. Even meteorologists differ a little bit in how they describe this. But generally speaking, when we get to a certain point temperature-wise over land, when the water temperatures get to a certain point and the moisture levels are at a certain point in our atmosphere, it leads to this cycle of the sea breezes that move inland. Depending on the wind pattern, they may move all the way across the coast or stall in the middle of the peninsula. But generally, we get into this cycle where afternoon showers and thunderstorms become the norm, and that does start generally in South Florida around the 20th to the 25th of May. Probably got a little bit of a late start this year because remember how dry it was right up through the holiday weekend of Memorial Day.
Yeah, and we were in this drought situation for so long, and is it possible this rain can be too much to address a drought?
If it's too much in too short of an amount of time, yes. I mean, there is the idea that it just kind of runs off and doesn't really soak into the ground, into the aquifer. So we're not officially out of the drought yet. This certainly made a huge impact on that. I think the newest numbers were published on Thursday, but they were only taking into consideration the rainfall up through Tuesday. And, you know, most of the rain this week fell after Tuesday. Yeah. But it is remarkable to see that just in 1 week's time, according to the Drought Mitigation Center, we've gone from a severe drought in southwest Florida to now just the lowest category of drought, which is, quote, abnormally dry. So we have made a huge impact so far. I'm not sure we're completely out of the woods just yet, so to speak, on the drought.
It's quite a swing for a very short period of time. And I'm wondering, and because we have everything has a name. There's tropical storm, there's hurricanes, there's nor'easters. Is there any kind of a name for this type of a rain event or just lots of rain?
just really just lots of rain. It's a slow moving storm system and a deep connection to the tropical moisture that you typically get with a tropical storm. There just wasn't an official storm this time.
Okay. So what is the forecast for Southwest Florida in the coming days? Are we going to see a drop in this humidity or any drier air behind all this?
The front that is moving through or has moved through the state has, first of all, it moved a lot further south than it normally does this time of year, but it has stalled across South Florida. You're going to get basically today and maybe part of tomorrow where it's pretty dry for this time of year, but then the typical afternoon sea breezes will kick back up late Saturday into Sunday, and there's some signs that another connection to some tropical moisture may be on the way about 7 to 10 days from now. So I would expect typical rainy season activity to return by Sunday. And then I am watching something that may be developing in the Gulf, Western Caribbean, in terms of just tropical moisture, at least at this point, heading our way in about 7 to 10 days.
So the hits just keep on coming. We're in rainy season for sure.
It's definitely here.
All right. Well, meteorologist Jeff Huffman for the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network, I want to thank you for joining us. Any final thoughts for Southwest Florida weather as we head into the weekend?
Well, just take this as a signal that not only has rainy season began, but hurricane season, of course, is underway, and just continue those pre-season preparations. And obviously, you know, there's always still time until we are tracking a storm. And so far, we're not tracking a storm.
Yeah. And as I always say, it doesn't matter how many hurricanes. It only takes one.
Of course.
All right. Well, we're going to pivot now away from wet weather to what keeps us dry, the roof above our head and the homes that shelter us from storms. We're talking with Lewis Golden with the Roofing Brothers of Naples about how heavy rains can damage homes and what you should look for before proceeding with any repairs after all this rain. Share your story about how your home was affected by this rainfall by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So, Lewis Golden, the roofs that we have in Southwest Florida should be able to handle this kind of torrential rain. What kind of problems do you usually see with roofs in our region?
We see all kinds of problems with the roofs in our region.
Have you had a lot of leaks called in already?
Yes, we got a numerous amount of calls this week.
Is it worse when you have more wind problems blowing rain in, or
yes,
just when there's just a ton of rain?
Yes, it does.
The wind and the rain both kind of
yes,
end
ma'am.
Up causing a problem? So do you ever see homes or buildings with roofs that have just no business being on a structure anywhere in Southwest Florida?
I wouldn't say that.
What about flat roofs?
Flat roofs are okay. It just depends on how they've been put down and how long they've been on.
So are there any regulations or guidelines for builders that keep bad decision-making from taking place?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody's got to be licensed and insured down here to be a roofer. I mean, if you're not, then you're not. You're not supposed to be up there.
You're not doing it right. Have codes updated at all since the last hurricane?
Extremely.
Yeah, really? What
happened?
Well,
not since the last hurricane, but since Andrew came through.
Yeah.
They've really tightened up on us.
What kind of things did they change?
They make people nail the roofs off a lot better now. They used to let us staple the nail or the shingles down and use 3 tabs. Now we're allowed to. You know, we're only allowed to use 30-year dimensionals, and we have to nail them with six nails.
So they're pretty specific down to how many nails.
There's the code enforcement. You know, the inspectors come out and inspect them. You know,
So say I'm a homeowner and I've noticed I might have a little bit of a leak because of after all this heavy rain. What is my first step? What should I do first? Call the insurance company, probably.
Yeah, well, or call us. I mean, that's what you should do first if you get a leak. And the reason that most of these people are getting leaks is because they don't maintain their roofs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they should have a maintenance pack. After a couple of years after your roof's put on, you need to have a maintenance package so where somebody comes out and looks at it at least once a year.
Well, you know, you put the roof on and you just think it's there and it's fine because you don't see it and you don't walk by it every day.
That.
So what kind of maintenance do you have to do on a roof?
Well, basically you just get up there and clean. You know, a clean roof is going to stay or keep you watertight a lot longer than a roof that's got a lot of debris on it.
Or like when the stuff grows on it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It should not be an extension of your lawn.
No, and a shingle roof doesn't last as long down here. They say they're 30-year dimensionals for the shingle roofs, and they only last 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, 15 to 20 I think is what the max is, I've heard for shingles. So how long do tile roofs last?
They last a little bit longer.
Okay, about like what, 20?
5 years.
So we're looking
20
at
years. 20 to 25.
20 to 25.
It just depends on how they're put down. They're put down a lot better now because we're using peeling sticks and we're using a lot safer products to put down. Mm-hmm. It's not like the old days when we used to use a tar kettle and mop roofs and
Things have updated.
Yeah.
But shingles still have a really short lifespan. Why is that? Is it because of the weather down
here?
Well,
it's because of the UV rays down here, and it's because of the torrential downpours, and it's because people don't maintain them.
Yeah. It's the rain kind of tears away all the pebbles on there, and then things growing on
it. Well, the granules, yeah, they'll come off, and the flashings, you know, it depends on how they're flashed.
When do you know it's time to replace your shingled roof?
Well, it depends on the age. I mean, if it's 15 years old, you should probably replace it.
When you start, say, every time it rains, if you have a pile of those little pebbles?
A good way to look for leaks is to go look at the soffits and look up. And if you see any rust stains underneath your soffit, you know what I mean, the two-foot overhang on your house, it's probably telling you that you need to call a roofer and get somebody out there to look at it.
Yeah, because you don't want it to be too late, because if it goes through the shingles or whatever other top material you have, it's going to affect that plywood underneath.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And once it gets into that plywood, that then has to be replaced too.
Yeah, and it can cause mold and other problems. So,
yeah. Have you encountered any that have done that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've encountered all kinds of stuff out there.
So when is the right time to get a new roof? I mean, if you're not facing an emergency, but you know that you're kind of nearing the end of the lifespan, when is the good time?
The winter time is the best time, you know, but this time of year it's tough to tear roofs off with the weather being like it is. And we've got a lot of people that don't call us until it starts leaking. And that's the problem, you know.
So when it does go through, what does it – so it causes mold. It affects that. Does that make it harder for roofers to do their job?
Oh, yeah.
How much does it increase the cost of your situation?
I don't know about that.
It kind of depends on the situation.
Yeah, it depends on the situation and how long they've let the roof go. I mean, you know, like I said again, if they keep the roof, if they've got a lot of trees over their house, if they go up there every 6 months and sweep the leaves off and clean out their gutters, you know, the life of their roof will last a lot longer.
So going up there every 6 months, knocking off all the leaves and any kind of growth.
Exactly.
Do people need to power wash their roofs?
I don't suggest it. There are, you know, green stuff or green biocides that they can spray up there now, and they don't even have to pressure wash it. It'll clean the roof off.
So there's a spray you can put on top
of your roof? Yeah, it's a fungicide.
And it'll knock off all that growth
and
stuff. All right, well, mm-hmm. That works out nicely. So when it comes time to select a contractor, what are some of the things that people need to check for?
I would check the Better Business Bureau ratings, mm-hmm. you know, and check any
proof of insurance?
Yeah.
Making sure that they're insured?
Yeah. What
do you say about somebody with a really low bid?
I wouldn't always go with the lowest bid.
Is it a kind of
you never know. You know, these people might not be paying workman's comp. They might, you know, they might be doing something shady.
Yeah, when it comes in suspiciously low, suspicious, because you might get what you pay for.
Yeah.
So you need to read your quotes and contracts really careful, and then you have to get a detailed written contract. That's just kind of policy.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of warranty should people expect for a new roof, like as far as materials are concerned and workmanship?
We usually give a 5-year workmanship warranty.
Okay.
Now, the material warranties, you know, they'll tell you that, you know, they'll probably give you a 10-year warranty on most materials.
Okay. So, like, does it vary, though? From shingles to tiles to metal?
No, not really.
No?
I mean, the metal roofs are a lot better because they're screwed down and they're not – the wind uplifts on them are a lot higher than let's say, a shingle roof.
What's a wind uplift?
Well, the wind uplifts is where they're tested for hurricanes.
Oh, metal roofs are?
Well, all roofs are. And they let you put on shingles or tile and metal, but the metal roofs will – the wind uplift. Let's say the wind's blowing 150 miles an hour and you got a shingle roof. That thing's probably going to blow away, you know. But if, you know, if you have a metal roof on there, it ain't going anywhere because it's screwed down.
So For example, so if you have a high wind situation and you have shingles on there, is it because there are more points of entry where that wind can get underneath it
yes,
and rip
ma'am.
It off? That kind of stands to reason. And tile doesn't have as bad of a problem?
Well, it depends on how the tile's fastened. I mean, we screw our tiles and foam them.
So you screw them on and then you put foam in between?
Yes.
And that kind of adheres it?
Yes.
But not everybody does that.
Well, no. I mean, the code says you either screw them, you foam them, you know, but we do both. So.
Oh, you do one or the other is what the code says.
Well, we do both.
Okay.
I mean, we overkill everything we do.
And that's what you kind of need to ask. So if you're installing a tile roof, it might be wise to ask your roofer, are you going to be screwing it on? Or are you going to be foaming
yes.
it on
yeah.
or both?
That's a good question.
That's a good – see, these are the – this is why we have somebody who knows what they're talking about in here because I don't know anything about a tile roof.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about a contract to come in and replace a roof, what can a homeowner do to make sure that the people are doing a good job? Do they need to kind of be on site and supervise or do you need them to just go away? Or is it hard to be asked questions sometimes?
That's a pretty tricky question. You know, I would just double check, you know, back – do some background checking on your roofers, make sure they've been in business for a while. And that's about it. I mean, I've been roofing since I was 18, you mm-hmm. know, and my dad was a roofer down in Naples.
Okay, so then with a family legacy in roofing, what would be the roof you would select?
I would select a metal roof, a standing seam roof, if I could afford it.
Yeah, those. Well, how do they rank as far as price?
They're about $800. Dollars a square if you tear the roof off and you put it back on.
$800 a square foot?
Yeah. Or not $800 a square foot. A square is a 10 by 10 area.
Oh, okay.
So it's 100 square feet.
How do others compare then as far as pricing? Like what is the tier? The most expensive is standing seam metal?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, basically it is. Now, there's some new products out there, you know, like the shingles that are, you know, or not shingles. They're actually tile that's supposed to be solar powered.
Yeah. Have you seen any of those around?
Well, I've heard about them, and I've heard that they're really expensive. Now, the booklet says they're supposed to be the same as a regular roof, but they're extremely more.
Yeah, I saw
you know,
the advertising.
And I've never even put one of those on yet. So
yeah, I've asked about that, about solar roofs, and I've called mm-hmm. a couple places, and there aren't a lot of people that have done installation in our area
yeah.
of those. I called around and looked to find out. Now, with solar panels, what do people need to know if they're planning on changing their roof and they want to maybe add solar panels later? Is there a certain material that works better for that than others?
No. And I really don't like solar panels on a roof.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they lag bolt them down through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of doesn't do good.
It's so. Like an entry point for water?
Yes.
And that causes
a problem. And I've seen numerous times where there's people that have problems because of their solar panels.
Because of the way they were just bolted on there and
yeah.
created a
And I don't
of water.
Know if that's because of whoever installed them did them wrong or but. But,
and then I always wondered when I saw solar panels on houses, because of the way Florida is and how everything grows and it's humid and stuff, do you get a lot of growth underneath those?
No, not really.
As far as fungus and mold and stuff?
Well,
you know. Because it's shady?
Yeah. I mean, where you have a lot of shade, but then again, you know, like I'm saying, if you can cut your trees back mm-hmm. so you can get sunshine on your roof, you're going to do a lot better.
Well, you'd do that anyway if you had a solar panel up there.
Yeah.
That's not a good place to install
no.
a solar panel under shade.
No.
We have a question coming in from Jennifer in Port Charlotte. Jennifer, what would you like to ask?
Oh, hi, yes. We were hit with a little baby tornado a couple months ago, and it took off about 20 tiles or shingle tiles on the roof and a few other things that we were able to repair right away. However, my husband did the job, of course, and the tile shingle matches the color as close as we could get. But now there's an obvious patch job up there. So I'm curious if there's any techniques or tips about how to get new tile and old tile to be closer matched.
Well, I mean, unless you get the exact brand and, you know, I mean, the colors, the shingles will fade on you. And, no, there's not really a way to make the shingles look any better. You know, I'm sorry to tell you that, but it depends on how old your roof is.
Yeah, and maybe if the older part of the roof, give it a year or so, because the sun here is pretty relentless.
Yeah.
it might maybe help.
It might make the new shingles fade, but, you know.
It's kind of hard to do a catch-up on that. So, all right. So you say, so you were talking about standing seam. Well, okay, the most expensive being
standing seam's what we sell the most of.
Yeah, well, you said standing seam is what you would select. And then from there are different metal roofs and then
– yeah, there's the 5E crimp. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what a lot of people, you know, take.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, you know, they're screwed down with exposed fasteners.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have tile. But there's a product, there's aluminum or a stone-coated metal. It's called Girard or, you know, Duraloc or, you know, there's different brands.
Mm-hmm.
But that's expensive too. That's like the standing seam. It's considered a metal.
So would a shingle roof be maybe like half the price of a metal roof?
Oh, yeah. So yeah. Well, it depends on what kind you get.
What kind of shingle? I mean, it's always variables.
A standard shingle roof, to tear it off, put it back on, would cost you about $325 or $350 a square.
Okay.
And a square is 100 square feet. So okay. A typical house would probably be 40 squares.
Mm-hmm.
So –
is it possible to do a patch job, though, when you have just like a little bit that got ripped off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can do that.
The issue is just matching it.
But it depends on how old your roof is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying if your roof's 15 years old, you know, do you want to put the money in it to patch it or do you want to just go ahead and put a new roof on? You know, it depends on, too, how much money you have. So.
Yeah, it is a very expensive thing to deal with. All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank our guest, Lewis Golden with Roofing Brothers. And earlier in the show, we also spoke with Jeff Huffman with the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. Thank you for your time and good luck in the rainy summer days to come. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chinqui, and our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM 90.1, WMKO, Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.